This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
I'm blessed that I have family and I spent the first month, my first month here in America with family. So culture shock was really a smooth transition. There's a smooth transition from coming to the Philippines, going here. But of course, I experienced some homesickness sometimes. But good thing we already have this technology, the Facebook. We already have this WhatsApp, Viber. So every time I miss home, I just try to call them. And then, of course, I always video call even my dogs. Once you're also in the workplace, that's the time that you will also feel or experience some culture shock. But of course, what can I advise is that just be open, be open-minded, and try to really, before coming to the state that you're going to, because I here assigned in Houston, Texas, so it's actually a city, so it's different, so you will get to meet a lot of different nationalities, different culture. So you just have to be open. You just have to stay positive and try to learn or research for the state or city that you will go into. So at least you have an idea what will you be facing. So I think that will be a good advice. So at least culture shock will not be really shocking to you.
Well, where I started in McAllen, the majority of the people speak Spanish. That's the biggest challenge I had for the culture. I think because it's a border of Mexico and the U.S., and I think Mexicans are the same culture we have, because in the Philippines, we're colonized by the Spaniards from Spain. So we're type of persons, is very religious. We believe in God. So the food's almost the same. So not that into that sense, but the biggest challenge I had is the language, because I really thought that all people in America speaks English. So, and then 70 to 80% of the population in that small city, and most of our patients in the hospital are Spanish speaking. And then 50% of them doesn't know how to speak English. So again, as what Rian said, do some research. Yes, because I didn't do that. I did, but I underestimated it. But it's a reality thing. You need to do your assignment and research to the place where you're going. So if I need to go back to that time before coming to the United States, I should learn how to speak, you know, basic language on Spanish, because it's really hard. Because there's one specific example I have when I have a patient taking care of that Spanish-speaking patient. And then I did the wrong thing. You know, it's a lesson learned. She doesn't understand English at all. And then I want her to sign the consent for a surgical procedure. And then the husband said, "You're here in America. Most people speak Spanish here in Texas. You should know how to speak Spanish." And I said, "Okay. You know what, sir? You see that flag out there? That's United States of America. I mean, I came here, I learned English. English is my second language. So as far as I know, I should, you know, everybody should speak English. But the reality is that I'm wrong. In America, people come here with, you know, it's very diverse. We come here because we can practice our religion, our language, whatever you want to do, as long as you cannot hurt somebody. Okay, so, but it should be in a good way. You know, the right way to do is to, you know, like I get an interpreter from the hospital, you know, to help this patient understand what is the procedure all about, and then why is she signing the consent. So yeah, language is a very big thing here in America. It's not only about English. Spanish is like 50%, and then American or English language.
Luckily, because I just arrived here in the US 2019, there's a lot of technology, as I said. So when I encounter a lot of Spanish-speaking people, or even Armenian, or even other language, there's already the Stratos. The Stratos, the interpreter, so you just have to call through your Vocera. Mm-hmm. That's a small, like, it's already a voice-activated. It's not a cell phone, but it acts like a cell phone. It can call. So that's one of the new technologies here in America that I don't think Philippines has yet, but hopefully they will have it soon too. So that's what we call Vocera, and then you just have to press Vocera and then call Stratos. It's like a center that there's a different interpreter. You just have to say what kind of language that you need, and then there's already an available interpreter that will talk to you. And they are also accredited by the hospital, because that Vocera and in their part, it's recorded. And they know about the person calling is medical professional and you're talking to a patient. So that is a really big help.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. AMN Healthcare Network is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. That's amnhealthcare.com/international. On with the show.
Comparing Philippines, the practice of nursing in Philippines and the U.S. is that legalities is really big in the United States. That's what they always said, you know, even in the Philippines, if it is not documented, means it didn't happen at all. Okay. So a basic example for that, you see your patient, you're doing your assessment, and then you see your patients, they say, for example, you work in a med-surg or telemetry area or an ICU, and then you got this patient, newly admitted patient from a nursing home, let's say, for example, and then you see, let's say, wound in the coccyx, or in the sacrum, in the buttocks, pressure ulcer. And then you didn't document it in the wound section of your work flow sheet in the electronic records, and then, or even you didn't take a picture on it. Just follow your hospital policy, because if that one is not documented, and then the patient developed a bed sore, I mean, it already has a bed sore, and eventually later on progressing to a very septic wound, and then now the patient complains, you know, they can turn around and then make a story, you know, this wound developed in the hospital, and then they can sue the hospital. And then when they go back to your documentation and you didn't document that one, and then that's a big loss for the hospital, okay? So documentation is a big issue where you work at. Anywhere in the United States, because that's the only thing that supports your practice, because even you can lose your license. I have a friend, it's just only a small, what do you call this? You know, the nasal, the oxygen cannula, it developed a sore there. And then even the hospital didn't help her. And then even brought this issue to the nursing board. You know, like you go through all those processes, but you know, you can still get your license back and all this stuff. But if you go through that process, it's a hassle.
HIPAA, we call the Privacy Act here in America. So number one, also that they're telling us during the orientation, we don't need to talk about particular patients, even just the age of the patient or even the name. They're very particular with that. You don't have to mention or talk in, when you are walking on the hallway or in the elevator, you don't talk about the patient. So you don't also take pictures with their names, with their faces. So all the information about the patient is just in the Epic or in the computer of the hospital. So you don't need to take it out of the hospital, and no picture taking also. And of course, I work in a big hospital here in Houston. So we get a lot of patients, past presidents of the United States, athletes, football athletes, ballet dancers. I mean, really big names. So if you check on that and you are not on a direct care to that patient, you can get fired. A lot of nurses got fired because they just clicked on the name of those big persons, big personalities. So just be very careful with that. If you are not a direct care nurse, don't ever click on that, because in just one click, you can get fired.
That's true.
And number two, also regarding falls. In the Philippines, I seldom encounter falls. Here in America, falls is really a big issue. So be very careful. And aside from that, in the Philippines, they get a lot of visitors and family members are at the bedside. Here in America, expect that the patient will just come there by themselves. In their culture, that the family will go there and take care of them. So falls is really a big issue. And the third one, I should say, is about the restraints. Especially if the patient is on DNR within 24 hours, if the patient is on DNR and he or she is on restraint, the state will try to really investigate. The state court will try to investigate you. So those things, I really don't know until I came here in America. So just be very careful because it's your license on state. So those are the some advices I can give.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. AMN Healthcare International is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. We offer both direct hire and staff recruitment, giving you more options and flexibility to begin your American dream. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. There's also a link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.